Mike, today we're going to be talking about alternative uses for nuclear explosives.
I know the one main use case, but what else can they do?
Well, back in December of 1953, everyone thought that, but U.S. President Dwight Eisenhower spoke to the U.N. General Assembly in New York City. His talk was titled Atoms for Peace. Could you say that in a dramatic way for me, please?
Atoms for Peace.
Oh, that's good. This grew into a program that supplied information and equipment to a bunch of schools and other groups to use nuclear science for good.
The first nuclear reactors in Israel and Pakistan came out of this work, for example, and were built by a company that previously made bowling equipment.
We don't have time to go down that particular rabbit hole today, but I promise there's a whole story behind that sentence.
All right.
The big concept at play here was to shift nuclear power and research away from the military to the likes of universities and private companies so they could explore what a future powered by the atom could look like.
The idea was that by recontextualizing nuclear topics away from war and into things like medical applications and power generation, people would be more accepting of nuclear weapons. This was all happening as the Cold War was beginning, and with it, a stockpiling of atomic products, I'll say. And that's where Project Plowshare comes in. It was overseen by the United States Atomic Energy Commission and was intended to highlight the peaceful applications of nuclear explosive devices and thereby create a climate of world opinion that is more favorable to weapons and developments and tests.
The commission hoped that these tests would show that atomic bombs could be used for peaceful uses, beating the atomic sword into a plowshare, kind of where the name came from.
In case you do not know, which I did not know, a plowshare is the name of the blade on a plow that cuts through the soil.
There you go.
Did you know that?
I did.
Why?
Because I live near a bunch of farmland.
Okay. Because when I was reading through our document, I was surprised that at no point did you describe plowshare. I was like, well, I have to do my own research here. I like to do my own research, Stephen, you know?
That's good. Well, the name worked because large-scale construction projects were on the list for Project Plowshare. This included a bunch of ideas. I'm going to rattle some of them off here. Widening the Panama Canal, creating a new waterway through Central America, dubbed the, quote, Pan-Atomic Canal.
Boo! Boo.
I didn't come up with a joke. Someone in the 60s did.
It sucks.
Using atomic weapons to cut paths through mountainous areas for building highways, connecting inland river systems, creating caverns for the storage of water, natural gas, and petroleum, and mining operations, which are, you know, not dangerous enough, so let's just throw some atomic weapons on top.
So I think that there is a thread. Maybe you can understand what's going on here. These types of projects commonly use traditional explosives, but atomic weapons could pack a much bigger punch, speeding up the progress and size of doing this kind of work, which is large-scale destruction, essentially. Several proposals were formed, including Project Chariot, which would have used several hydrogen bombs to create an artificial harbor in Cape Thompson, Alaska. Project Carryall, which would have used 22 nuclear explosions to excavate a massive road cut through the Bristol Mountains in the Mojave Desert to accommodate the construction of Interstate 40 and a new rail line. And the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, which would have used 522 megaton nuclear explosives to excavate a canal through the Negev Desert in Israel as an alternative to the Suez Canal.
We could have used that alternative a couple of years ago.
When the boat got stuck? They should have just put a hydrogen bomb on the boat, got them out. I think that's the way to do it. You just strap a nuclear explosive to anything, and it would just make it work.
This moves it for you.
Mm-hmm. That's what we've learned.
These proposals all carried risk and technical challenges, and many, including that one in Alaska you mentioned, were met with strong local opposition. None of the ones you mentioned went forward, but only after research concerning atomic weapons being used for large-scale construction was carried out. So there was testing, but not kind of real-life application.
Well, let's get to some of those potential applications after this break.
This episode of Ungeniused is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or you're managing a growing brand, you can stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything. product, services, and even the content you create. The content piece is really cool. Squarespace has all the tools you need to sell exclusive content by adding a paywall on your site to sell content or courses. And of course, you can also sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. And you can make checkout seamless for those customers with simple and powerful payment tools. You can accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in eligible countries, you can set up services like Afterpay and Clearpay to give options to buy now and pay later. You get to start your customized, personalized website with Squarespace's new guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then easily launch your website and get discovered quickly with integrated, optimized SEO tools, so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. A couple weeks ago, I got an email from a client. I built their company, a Squarespace site, several years ago, and they needed to update the content. They had some new photos, new wording they wanted to use. And so I logged in, and I made those changes really easily. One of my favorite things about Squarespace sites is it's very easy to grow them over time. So something like a blog, maybe you don't need that on day one, but you can add it down the road, and it's really easy to do so. You're not rebuilding everything all the time because Squarespace, all those tools are integrated and know about each other. So you want to head to squarespace.com/ungeniused for a free trial, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/ungeniused. And when you decide to sign up, you'll get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for this, your favorite podcast. Our thanks to Squarespace for their support of Ungeniused and all of Relay FM.
The first peaceful nuclear explosion took place in December 1961 and was labeled Project Gnome. The location was a salt bed in southeast New Mexico and had several objectives, including the study of the creation of steam due to the heat of the explosion and looking at collecting remaining radioisotopes for scientific and industrial applications.
The test was meant to seal off this underground shaft that the bomb had been placed in, but that didn't happen, leading to the escape of some radioactive material into the atmosphere.
Who could have thought?
I know. Who saw that coming? At the heart of the blast was a 170-foot cavity lined with melted rock and salt. This cavity then partially caved in, making drilling for steam impossible.
Over the next 11 years, another 26 tests were carried out, trying to harness the explosive power of atomic weapons for demolition and construction projects.
The most well-known of these tests is probably the Sedan test, which took place in July of 1962. The weapon was placed 630 feet below the surface in the government's Nevada test site.
This test left a massive crater in the desert floor. It turns out that this is the largest human-made crater in the United States. Congratulations, USA.
Put that on a postcard. The crater is the result of tons of earth and rock being vaporized and shot into the atmosphere. And you can see how a line of these things could be useful, I guess, in building a canal or burrowing through a mountain. But the radioactive fallout from the test contaminated more U.S. residents than any other nuclear test.
Good work, gang.
Way to go.
This obviously led to more public concern over the entire concept, but Project Plowshare plowed on. In 1973, three tests were carried out to simulate the flow of natural gas out of rock. It turns out that using atomic weapons to free natural gas from the Earth makes that gas radioactive and cannot be used.
By the end, Project Plowshare was responsible for 27 nuclear explosions, as well as many other non-nuclear blasts. Funding quietly ended in 1997, many years after the final blast. And all in all, the project cost the American taxpayer an estimated $770 million.
Boom. This one just feels like a big waste of money, right? Like, I don't think we can get away from that. Like, it didn't really feel like anything was done other than spending money.
Yeah, sure.
And radiating parts of America.
But we could have built more canals, Mike. We were so close.
I know.
Our thanks to Alan for sending this in. If you want to read more about Project Plowshare, check out the links in the show notes. They're on the web at relay.fm/ungeniused/217. There's also a link to send us your favorite weird Wikipedia topic, and it'll go on the list for future consideration. Mike, until next time we irradiate the desert, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.